Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Today we're going to play Tom Brady's first press conference as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I personally won't listen.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's conference call to introduce Buccaneers QB Tom Brady.
That's the thing that makes it real.
I obviously have a ton of trust and respect in for Coach Arians.
But it's real. 12 o'clock, it's real.
Congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there. Robert Kraft did several interviews stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted.
Again, I'm not responsible for, you know, how other people, you know, will say certain things. Mr. Kraft has, you know, been a great influence in my life.
The best way to get over a guy is to get under another one.
I'm excited for, you know, this opportunity that I have. I'm just excited to get started.
This does conclude the conference call to introduce Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady. You may now disconnect your lines, and everyone have a great day.
Right now.
I guarantee you somebody went out and got a blow dryer.
Got a what? Free donut with that too?
I get it.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I did try that blow dryer method last night. It didn't work. Of course, I don't have the coronavirus, so apparently it's not a big deal.
Slept like a baby, though.
I did. I felt good.
No.
Especially after about three glasses of wine.
I'm
drinking more during this.
So
are you guys finding that?
Every single night.
By the way, someone just texted me this. For the third time this week, I'm buying booze for the next 2 weeks.
They're delivering it now, Lou. The state is allowing delivery of booze. Think about this. 6 weeks from now, we're going to be over the coronavirus, and suddenly we're going to have an alcoholic problem across the entire country.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. If you,
people are racing to like 5, 6 o'clock at night, and they're like, okay, who wants some wine?
If you're looking at what to invest your money in, say the stock market's got you down a little bit, if you're looking to invest your money in something, whatever rehab facility that deals with alcohol, Anonymous or something like that, that's wherever. That and divorce attorneys. Those two things. Okay? And babies. Babies R Us is going to open up again. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of divorces. A lot of divorces and a lot of babies. And then there may be babies and then divorces.
I don't know. I had a nice little dinner last night. Glass of wine. I had an artichoke to start the day off.
I saw that. It was nothing like ruining a good night.
It was nothing outstanding. Wrong with artichokes. It was outstanding.
It was
a good night. And then I cried this afternoon about noon. About 12:10, 12:15. A little tear in my eye.
Well, I think it was nice that Tommy came out and he addressed all of the questions that all of us have been asking for the last couple of weeks, and we got all the answers,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Said everything. He told us everything. He hates Belichick.
Yep.
He puts up with Kraft, but he's okay with him. Down the road, he'll be fine with Kraft.
Is that what you took from it?
You didn't get that?
No. Glenn, what you're talking about is the last 2 months.
Oh.
The last two months has been that. Like today was your typical Brady CEO. Not saying anything bad, always positivity, goodwill, love, respect, honor, all that bull crap that goes along with it. You knew there was not going to be any hatred or any cheap shots thrown.
So I was getting totally bored with the press conference.
Oh, it was long.
Totally bored, and it was all the
bored.
Tampa Bay people. Our guy Rick Stroud, who's been on the station.
I'm raising salamanders in the backyard. You're talking about bored. This was pure excitement, given what we've got going on. What are you talking about bored?
Listen, Brady's a good interview, usually. This was really boring today. And all of the Tampa Bay people are getting in. So this guy, Rick Stroud, who apparently had the inside story on what happened with Tom Brady, which I think is a little bit shaky. His question is, well, what do you think about the city of Tampa Bay and the weather and going from the... What? What? That is a question on a press conference when you are bringing into your organization the greatest player to ever play? So finally, would you say it was 10 minutes in, maybe longer than that, we got the first New England question. And to the microphone steps Ben Volen and asked a viable question.
Hey, Tom. Congrats on signing with Tampa Bay and starting your new journey down there.
Thanks,
have
Ben.
Have a question about your leaving New England, your departure here. Robert Kraft did several interviews the other day or whenever that was when you left, stating that this was really what you wanted, that leaving New England was what you wanted, and that if you had wanted to come back to the Patriots, they would have made a deal happen, but that you leaving and you wanting to start elsewhere was what you wanted to do. Would you agree with that assessment?
Well, again, I'm not responsible for, you know, how other people, you know, will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, you know, been a great influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for, you know, 2 decades, you know, and you know, I referenced that the other day. It's been an amazing thing for my family, and I'm sure when I'm done playing, I'll look back and have a chance to really reevaluate, you know, my entire career. But, you know, at the same time, I'm excited for, you know, this opportunity that I have. You know, I can only speak to how I feel. You know, I wrote about that in my social media the other day. You know, this was getting to be a free agent, and, you know, having the opportunity to join the Bucs was something that I was really excited about, and that's where we're at where we're at. That's why we're at where we're at.
That's why we're at where we're at.
See, I felt like, no, but here's the thing. So there was a theme to this, right? The excitement of meeting his new teammates and putting that work in. Like, everyone has seen me work for years, and I hope to, you know, I've got some knowledge, or I've won in the past. I'm going to try to bring that with me, but I'm going to continue to do. So there was like a theme to his entire press conference, whatever you want to call it. And he was trying to figure out a way to get to it every single time. Right, like, how can I avoid the questions being asked and get to the fact that I'm excited about joining Tampa? It's a new stage of my career. I love New England, everything I did for 20 years, but I can't wait to meet my teammates. But I felt like at the beginning of this one, he was just sort of fumbling around trying to get to the message that he kept sending to every single question.
Fumbling is the right word.
But that's what I mean. I thought, yeah, it was him fumbling around.
No, that's
around.
James Winston.
That's where we're at.
He doesn't fumble.
But he was early on.
He doesn't fumble.
Different type of fumbling.
I can't control what other people think or say, whatever it is. So it's yeah. I would have liked to have had a real answer. We know we're not going to get one. So it's exactly what I expected. He wasn't going to throw anybody into the bus.
Again,
so
I'm good not responsible for you know how other people you know will say certain things. I think.
So Volen didn't give up on the question. And he threw in a follow-up asking him whether he was disappointed that the Patriots weren't more involved. Listen,
were you disappointed that the Patriots maybe didn't make more of an effort to bring you back or maybe show some more appreciation given all you've accomplished for the team?
No, I have a great deal of respect for, you know, there's nobody who's been a bigger fan of the Patriots than me. So I have nothing but total respect and love. And, you know, I'm so grateful to Mr. Kraft and the organization and Coach Belichick and all the coaches and obviously all my teammates. It's been a lot of days responding to a lot of incredible text messages from my teammates, from former teammates, from just a lot of the great people that I've got to meet over the years. And I have so many great relationships that, you know, will be maintained. And, you know, that's, I think, the greatest gift that football has brought me is the relationships that I've had with so many of the people I've worked with. So, it'll be certainly different, but at the same time, you know, that's the way life can be at times. What won't be different is my approach to the game, my approach to what my roles and responsibilities are, and I'm going to go out and do the best I can every day to put our team in a position to win.
Okay, so we wasted the last 2 months.
I don't know if I can tell you.
Detective.
I've been pretty vocal. No, if I just,
all his
you've
friends.
Been right all along.
All
no,
his friends.
No, and I don't know. I can't.
We
I can't
wasted
talk
the last 2 months because apparently he doesn't hate Kraft or Bill or any of the issues here in New England or
good
the office or anything else that they were doing. This sounded right out of Tony Robbins. It's like he sat down, he took Tony Robbins course 402, and then he got before the microphones. Now, the one thing I did notice, I don't know if you guys heard it, is he kept on saying that he was not going to make predictions. So is he trying to set the bar low for everybody? I'm not going to set predictions. He even talked about the challenge with the coronavirus and lack of workouts, but he's not going to make predictions. Well, in other words, don't judge me.
He's smart enough not to make predictions because predictions are stupid. I don't think he's ever made predictions. But, you know, I don't think, like you said, hate. I don't think there's ever, I don't think, he doesn't hate anybody. He doesn't hate Robert Kraft. He doesn't hate Bill Belichick.
No, I'm just throwing that out.
You know what I mean? He loves Robert Kraft, and he loves Bill Belichick. He's just frustrated with maybe, you know, the way he goes about it or how this thing sort of ended. But I don't think there's really hate anywhere when it comes to Tom. I think he just left and realized it was time.
Okay, so out of all the people, this is what we got to do next. I got a trivia question for you, okay? Tuesday trivia with Foyer, okay? Who is the one person, and don't answer till we come back, who is the one person Brady verbally said he was going to miss? I want you to think about it. He only said he was going to miss one person out of all the people who were on that conference call. He only missed one person.
Foyer?
He did. And that was all the care. It was not Ben Volen, I can tell you.
It was not Ben Volen.
We will get to it, and we'll open up the phone lines. You heard it. You heard from Tom Brady for the first time since he became a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. What are your impressions? What did you think? Were you sad? Did you cry? Couldn't believe all the people on Twitter. What wusses? I'm not going to listen to it. Wiggy said that this morning. I can't listen to it. What? Come on. So you heard it. Tell me what your reaction is. 617-779-7937. It is OMF again. Self-quarantined. It is day 7. We're doing fine.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here on OMF, and again, we're all doing the show in separate sites. Everybody should sanitize right now. I noticed Lou, because we're watching each other here on a screen and on FaceTime, Lou does a good job of spraying down. Have you noticed that?
Well, I do.
He is really thorough, Christian. He, you know,
I think
everything down.
Yeah.
I'm the only one down here, so nobody's even coming down here except the cat, maybe the dog. Otherwise, it's just me.
It's you and that Magic Johnson picture.
That's right. Don't be. You're so jealous.
God, I am a little.
It's
bit.
First of all, it's not a. It's not a. It's not a picture. Okay.
Yeah. What
it's
is
a,
it? It's an action photo.
It's no. It's like it's a.
It's a shrine.
High end yeah. copy
it's an altar.
Of a painting.
Yeah.
Signed by both Larry Bird and Magic Johnson.
Oh, very
my
good.
Uncle had magic.
Good. Yes. Because, of course, it's Magic making a great play on Larry, obviously.
No, that's not the – you asked me. That's not – I'll take a picture of it. I'll send it out to you.
Okay, please do.
You can give me a,
please,
so you can give your opinion of who's actually winning the battle for the rebound.
Please do. So we already said it. Tom Brady was affable, would you say? But he was really intent on pleasing the people in Tampa Bay. If I'm a Buccaneer fan and I'm hearing all of this, I'm sitting here saying he doesn't care about the last 20 years. He's writing off the last 20 years. He's basically saying it's in the rearview mirror. It's all about what we do for the Pirates. That's all it's about. So he did address numerous Boston media. There was Jeff Ho. There was Ben Volen. And there was Karen Garigian. And boy, does he miss old Karen.
Hi, Tom. Congratulations.
Thanks, Karen. I'm going to miss you.
I'll miss you, too.
Oh, that's sweet. Huh?
When that's in your sweet. Mind did you officially cut the cord with the Patriots, and how hard was it to tell Robert and the Patriots you were moving on?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and seen, I spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him, and we spoke and we had a great conversation, you know. And I just wanted to express, what he's meant to me in my life, and we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well, and you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career related, personal related. You know, I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization, and it's a world class, first class organization in every way. And I wanted to leave it that way too. So I know the Patriots have a great team; they always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. You know, I certainly wish them the best, but for me, you know, I've got to transition and focus on the opportunity that I have to, you know, make the current situation I'm in as best I possibly can. And, you know, they hired me to do a job here, and I'm going to go in there and do it like you've always seen me do for a long time. Like, you know, the fans have always seen me do, like opposing coaches, my teammates have seen me do, and I'm going to give it everything I got, like I've done everything in my life for as long as I've been playing this sport.
Two pieces of new information, because I think we already knew he had an affection for Karen Garigian, because you could tell in the press conferences, and she's been there a long time, he's been there a long time. The two new ones that I got he realized the split was inevitable when he visited Kraft's house. Do we really believe this?
No. You can't, can
Maybe
you?
Maybe that's the realization that it was actually happening. So when he decided to cut the cord when he walked into his house, which is like right around the corner.
I don't believe that.
Is that what it is? See,
he was actually driving.
He had to come up from Greenwich.
It was driving there. He was driving. He's like, I'm not really sure where I'm going to go with this, but, you know, I got to make a decision. He's pulling into the Crafts, and he's like, you know what? I just made my decision, and I'm going to walk into Crafts and tell him. So that was when he made his decision?
No. Don't buy it.
Anybody believe that?
No. Nope. It was he was going over to basically say, I still love you, but I'm out of here. Now, the other one I think that was all brand new information, because I think we did know that he had a short conversation with Bill Belichick. We did not know he had a conversation with Jonathan. But I think we learned today with that Karen Garigian question that the conversations happened while he was there at Kraft's house. Didn't you read it that way? That he was there, and then maybe Kraft said, oh my God, you're what? You're leaving? I got to get Bill on the phone. Maybe Bill can do something. Well, yeah, and then he suddenly shouted, Jonathan! He had to get Jonathan in there.
FaceTime.
Which is weird because usually the coach knows first, but whatever, special circumstances, a special person. So I feel like, do we have confirmation that that Tom talked to Bill since the season ended? Do we have any confirmation of that?
We hear about the call, right? That didn't go so well.
But that
was
with the agent. That wasn't with him. That was with his agent. That wasn't with his representation. It wasn't with Tom.
Oh, I thought it was with Tom.
I thought it was with Tom, too.
I thought that was with representation.
But I think this sort of makes sense.
But hold on. Because my thing is this. If they never actually talk, because I always thought that the agent talks first. At this point in time, as a free agent, you're not calling the coach and having a conversation. It's your agent or whoever it is calling them.
I can't even get myself on the line.
As a player, as a player, you're not giving numbers. Hey, here's what I'm looking for. That's odd. So I don't know. We need some sort of confirmation on that. But anyways, my point is this. To me, you get over to Kraft's house. You say, listen, let's call Bill. So Bill is not expecting the call. He's like, hey, you know, next, you know, Linda, the phone. Oh, it's Robert. It's Robert. He's like, hold on. I'm in the bathroom. You know, he gets out. He gets on the phone.
Good impression. Call me RKK.
And that's the first time he's speaking to him throughout the whole year, or even if he did speak earlier in the month, that this is the first. So the next time you talk is, hey, I'm gone.
Right.
So there's already an understanding. So Bill's not surprised because Bill knows he's gone anyways.
Right.
And Tom's not, I came to some clarification because he knew he was gone anyways also. The weird part is having to drive to his owner's house, who he's had such a long relationship with, and tell him face to face. Usually you don't ever talk to the owner. The owner does it. It's like, whatever, who's next?
I thought it was interesting, though, when Robert said, I think it was with Curran, that I honestly expected him to come over, and we would just work on a deal, an extension like we had the previous 10 years. I think he said 10 years. And I remember that comment being like, huh, is that how it usually works? Like, Tom that's goes naive. Over to Robert's house to work on his extension like it has the last 10 years?
That's naive.
So, but it does make sense, because he's sitting there telling Robert, and he's like, I got to call Bill. All right, well, let's call Bill now. Maybe they zoomed in a meeting. Right, that's the new cool thing to do. Maybe they zoomed in a meeting. Maybe they
Kraft is in all those new cool tech toys.
Yeah, called Jonathan down from his bedroom, and he said, "Jonathan, you need to come down here too, so the four of us can sort of be in this onesie. You can sort all of us
a little flap on the ass,
and all of us can be like in the room together and have this discussion. The four of us."
Yeah,
but I don't believe that's when he decided. I believe he might have. What you can do? Come out and say, actually, Karen, I decided a year ago when the negotiations didn't go well and I asked for my free agency and I knew they would want to give me a 2-year deal. I knew before last season started. That wasn't ever going to come out.
Yeah, but that's already been written. That story's already been written. Now it's, last minute, because as a free agent, part of it, you have to act like it came down to the wire. You have to act like it was a tough decision. You don't want to leave. You don't want the fans to think you're leaving for a better opportunity and more money and based on a current situation that you have no control over anyways. So to me, that was typical. I didn't expect anything different from him whatsoever. I mean, all clean. What I thought is, okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the fans down there are been used to, do you want to eat a W? Let's eat a W. They go from that knucklehead, and I don't even know if we have any post-game sound from him as far as how he analyzes a game or how he carries himself, to him, to Tom Brady, who is the best that's ever done it and the best that ever will do it. I just feel like the contrast is so significant that they're just going to be in awe of how he dresses, how he carries himself, how polite he is, because you're not going to see what you got last year, right? He's not uptight. He's not frustrated. He's not the worst, 8-0, quarterback in the history of the NFL. You're not going to see that.
So we'll get to it later, but what if Cam Newton comes here and he comes out in those post-game press conferences, he's wearing that grandma outfit that he likes to wear with the kerchief and the whole works? That might be a little bit different than what we saw with Tom Brady.
That was one of my takeaways, is listening to him talk, is just how much better they're going to be, how much more professional they're going to be. Like you said, Glenn, we don't know what he's going to be like. You've talked about it many times. But I do think when we were talking about, you're worried about the offensive line. Think about Tom Brady under center, looking across the defense, recognizing defenses, maybe blitzes, as opposed to maybe Jameis Winston looking across the defense and maybe not realizing that this guy over here on the right is uncovered and I got to get rid of the ball quick. Or telling the offensive, calling protections at the line based on what he sees compared to maybe what Jameis Winston saw. All of it, as far as just the attention to detail, everything. He mentioned Byron Leftwich working with him. I'm sure Byron Leftwich is sitting there saying, I can't wait to work with him. You know, I'm new at this thing as well. You know, I'm going to learn from Tom. Tom's going to learn something new here and there, pick up something from these guys. But overall, how much better they're going to be with this guy in the center compared to Winston.
I want to get into that because it was very interesting hearing them all play it out and talk about Bruce Arians' offense. And Christian said this and others said this up front. Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay. It's going to be Tom Brady's offense. And yet Tom Brady wasn't talking today like it was his offense. He was talking about how he was going to be the guy who had to learn everything and not be the teacher. And I'm wondering if that is the wrong approach for Tampa Bay to go with Tom Brady, because he is very unique. We're going to get to that. We'll get to your phone calls as well. 617-779-7937. Tom Brady finally spoke. Didn't say an awful lot, except that he's going to miss Karen Garigian. But what did you think? We take your phone calls coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And I say one thing. I want everybody to look at me. I'm going to pass this to corner after I say one thing.
Let's go.
That's a W. Let's eat one. Let's eat one. That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight? I'm going to eat a W tonight.
Yeah. Hey, come in. That's not all.
It's our time. It started 7-8 months ago, right? All for this moment. All for this moment. It's about honor. It's about respect. We win this game, your honor. Your kids are honored. Your families are honored.
Let's go! Let's go, baby! Let's go!
Oh my God.
Say a slight difference between Tom Brady. Now, in all fairness, Tom Brady was actually prepping his team up for a Super Bowl game, and Jameis Winston was probably, a regular season game.
There's something about the E to W that I kind of like. I can imagine myself being in that circle, laughing my ass off, and going, wait a second. Well, I mean, I get what he's trying to say, but the delivery is so comical with him. It's just so silly. I don't believe him, but okay. I will eat it. I'm raising my hand. I would like to eat a W. Thank you.
I remember when that happened, we sat there and said, when those guys walked away from that speech, you know, they got together, like a couple guys walking together. I think they all looked at each other and said, what the hell is Jameis talking about? Eating a damn W.
Doesn't matter. It's classic.
So surprisingly, the players down there, because we look at it differently from afar, seem to really like Jameis Winston, because I agree. I think he's kind of a knucklehead, and this is a kid who's had some issues. Matter of fact, he had the Uber driver issue. I think that was, 2017? And then you remember out of college, he had the incident where he was ripping off crab legs at the local Publix market. So he's had some issues in the past, but the players apparently love him. So the question now is, Tom Brady going down there, I didn't feel any different after hearing Tom Brady today. I still think this is going to be a very difficult challenge. Matter of fact, I'll use Tom Brady's word, challenge. He brought this up numerous times today. And so as this played out and a question was asked about Bruce Arians' system and whatever, and we had a lot of conversation about this a couple months ago, what type of system would be used. And Tom Brady, he mentioned it today, throw to the receiver that's open. He likes to have, guys coming, a short passing pattern so that he can unload the ball quickly, kind of move the chains. Bruce Arians has a much different system. It's all going for the big play, going for the big pass, going for that touchdown. And it sounds to me like Brady's ready to adopt Bruce Arians' system.
Matter of fact, he likes it. He on my team. Hey, man.
Is that right? Is that what he's doing here? Because it doesn't make sense.
What doesn't make sense? That Bruce Arians likes to throw the football down the field? And
yeah,
what,
they
Brady
throw the ball down the field more than any team in the league. 20 yards plus more than any team in the league. So that's not what
– I will
I'm not saying
Tom
Brady has a soft arm. I'm not saying that.
People need to stop looking at that system. Systems change. They adapt. I saw this article in The Athletic, right? The title is Bruce Arians' Book Provides a Template for His New Marriage with Tom Brady. Mike Sando, wrote this. And basically it goes over the three most important traits that Bruce Arians values as a quarterback. Now you tell me if – I'm going to give you the three. Now you tell me if Brady has these qualities, right? Grit and will.
Yes.
Does he have grit and will?
Yes.
I would like to say everybody thinks that he does. He have brains? Can yeah. Does he have a high aptitude, a high football IQ? Does he have that?
Yeah.
Everybody says yes. Okay. The physical components, which would be accuracy. Is he accurate?
Well, he has been in the past, yes. And you have to be concerned at age 43 whether some of that changes. But I would say yes to all three of them. I
okay,
still think that's irrelevant to
no,
what we're
I
talking
think,
about.
I think what the answer,
it is,
I think
it
what
is,
the answer
is, relevant.
Is that if Bruce Arians gave Tom Brady his playbook, because everybody else is familiar, all the weapons is familiar with it, and then it's going to be up to Brady to get up to speed with what their playbook looks like. But I don't think it's 100% of that playbook. You know, I think that if they had time, if we weren't dealing with a coronavirus, and he's at OTAs, and they were able to sit and meet and go over things, then, you know, maybe it's 50% of that playbook and, you know, 50% of what Tom kind of wants to implement, a few plays, a few looks, a few this, a few that. I think early on, that percentage might be more weighed towards Tampa Bay's offense, with Tom a few tweaks in there as well to help what he thinks can help this offense click. And then, so now what you're doing is it's up to Tom Brady, who we all agree with is one of the smartest football players, to sit and look at a playbook and understand the terminology and to be able to adapt maybe a little bit more than he would have if everything was normal, which I would feel pretty comfortable with. Brady's not going to call me every 2 seconds and say, hey, I was looking at this play. I don't get it. Like, I don't see that happening. I think he gets a lot of it. He just might not think it's works the best, but I think that you'll see that develop as the season goes on, more of what he wants in the offense.
Yeah, and I think, and in this article, you know, because this is all, this guy's, Sando's taking all this from Bruce Arians' book, you know, and Bruce Arians constantly talks about the relationship between head coach and quarterback. He talks about all the meetings they would have. He talks about playing golf. He talks about, you know, he would love to play golf and have beers on the 19th hole, something Bill would probably never do, maybe boating, but not. But the other thing he said, which was just stood out to me, because people would think that there would be too much of a difference between Bruce Arians. They're polar opposites as far as how they coach and how they mentor and how they teach. And the one thing that stood out to me, he says, Bruce Arians, what he does is he loves building up his players through positive reinforcement.
Ooh, Anthony Robbins.
Hugs, kisses, high fives.
That's what Tom's
get him
for.
Next time. I mean, really, so there's none of this calling guys out and embarrassing them, shaming them in a team meeting. It's positive reinforcement. It's like constantly showing them value, appreciation. We can do it together. I mean, it's amazing that of all the teams, of all the situations he could go to, he went to the most polar opposite of Bill. I mean, I don't think that was – I think a lot of it has to do with chance that Arians just happened to be in Tampa with the team and the situation that they're in. But to me, everything leads me to believe that this is going to be such an unbelievable, successful year. First year, I'm only giving this first year, as far as breaking records, as far as passing yards, touchdowns, low interception to touchdown ratio, all those things. Oh, Brady can't throw the deep ball. Watch. They'll probably go deep on the very first play of the regular season.
I'm not saying that Tom Brady can't throw the deep ball. And all of that stuff you're saying makes all the sense in the world. I don't think he's going to have a problem with Bruce Arians. And Arians is going to be a lot easier on him, and he may enjoy that right now. But when you hear him talk about how he's going to have to learn all of this stuff, Phil Perry was on with Curran. They were doing one of those Zoom sessions, the two of them together, here in the last hour or so. And Phil Perry brought up an interesting point, and that was that Tom Brady has always been able to be the demanding guy. He expects stuff. He can be really harsh on some of his receivers and even some of the players on that team.
What are we doing?
He's going to have difficulty doing that when he comes into a new environment and a new team, because he's the learner right now. He is not the teacher. And the dynamics early on may be more difficult. I don't think the Bruce Arians dynamics are going to be tough at all. He is a quarterback whisperer, and he's going to be able to deal with that. But are these guys going to buy in to the 43-year-old Tom Brady?
Well, I think one thing that will help is that all these guys are under this system. So when Brady studies their playbook and he looks at it, it's not like somebody wide receiver coming into Tampa. You know, like they signed a free agent wide receiver who's unaware of Tampa's playbook, who's unaware of Tom. You know, now it makes it a little bit more difficult. The fact that they're all aware of Tampa's playbook, I think now Tom can look at it. You know he's going to be looking at film. You know he's going to be looking at their playbook and say, you know, this is what this play is, but I want to add a wrinkle to it. You know, I want to add this look to it. I want to add just so you now you're just sort of adding on to what they already have down pat. They already know this book. So he's just going to add little tweaks here and there, which I think will help with that adjustment as opposed to, you know, if Tampa had signed two or three free agent wide receivers and said, look, we loaded up on weapons. Now those guys come in. They don't know Tampa's playbook. They don't know what Tom wants them to do. They're really lost. At least these guys have a starting point. Now it's up to Tom to kind of study their book, how they go about it. And then it's easier just to add little things, I would think, as opposed to just changing everything altogether.
I don't think there are little things. I think they're going to have to add big things. Because if you look at what Tom Brady had difficulty with last year, is even when he had A.B., when he had a Gordon or whatever, he had some outside receivers, but at times he didn't have enough time to throw the ball deep. So, and that was because of the breakdown of the offensive line. Well, let's look at Tampa Bay. They're strong in the middle in the offensive line, but they're weak at tackle. Now, that may change in the draft. My guess is they're going to go for a tackle in their first-round pick. They got to get somebody to protect Tom Brady. But unless they convert who's the little guy they got? The Scott Miller? Is that the kid's name? Yeah, the little guy there that they have the receiver. Maybe they work him in the slot. Maybe he work him in the slot. And he becomes a poor man, Julian Edelman, so that he can release and unload the ball quickly. Maybe you see more of O.J. Howard, who kind of has been disappointing if you look at what he's did. And the other kid, Cam Brate, the Harvard kid, he's from Harvard. He's a smart kid. Maybe he'll be able to figure it out, right? But I look at them, and some of the problems that we saw last year with New England actually exist with Tampa Bay, except their deep threats, their outside receivers, both Evans and Godwin, are an upgrade, except the week that you had Antonio Brown. They are an upgrade.
But how does
Tom get to them?
How do you figure, though, Glenn? They have similar issues? I don't think they have similar. They have
offensive line.
One issue. No, again.
Whoa, the tackles
are
weak.
I don't want to get into their offensive line was weak. There's reasons why offensive lines struggle. There's multiple reasons why. And the quarterback plays a big role in that. So watch how much better this offensive line gets. I mean, the tackles are weak. Really? You know what fixes the tackles issues? You know what gives them confidence? When the guy gets the ball off, when he doesn't hold on to it and he doesn't run
block. Well, hold on, that's my point. But you've got outside deep receivers. That's their offense.
Yeah.
You need a short passing game now to be able to release that pressure because you're right. Brady can find the open guy. He can find the open guy underneath, crossing routes, whatever. But they're going to have to add that in, and maybe that's what they're going to add in.
Well, if you tweak it
offense
a little bit, you got to admit, I mean, if you're a tackle, maybe somebody like Matt Light could answer the question better, but if your quarterback is taking seven-step drops, your job just got a lot harder, correct? We see it all the time with the Patriots. The tackles go, they push them out, Tom stays in the pocket. They push them behind him. You know, you talk about guys like Rob Ninkovich saying, you know, that's not how we run our defense. Our defensive ends, we don't take off, you know, just, you know, running behind the quarterback. You know, we just can't do that. That's not what Bill wants us to do. But with a seven-step drop, and you got guys just taking off, those tackles are extremely vulnerable, aren't they? As opposed to what the Patriots kind of try to do offensively?
Yes.
So I think Tom realizes that, recognizes it, and starts talking about it. Now you're talking about completely different protections. Now, you got to stay in the pocket a little bit longer to deliver that football. But I think alone just makes that offensive line so much better. They will be graded out so much better than they were last year because he won't take the sacks. Those seven-step drops will make life easier on the tackles. They won't be doing that as much as they have in the past. The whole thing will change. He's going to pick up stuff at the line of scrimmage that Winston couldn't. He's going to change the protections at the line that Winston couldn't do. That stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, I hate to say it. There are similar problems, and if you look at Winston's numbers, they're comparable to Tom Brady's numbers with an offensive line. And he had the same issues that Tom Brady had. The difference was Brady threw the ball away because he's a lot smarter than Jameis Winston. And Winston said, you know what, I can still make this pass. And he threw it, but he threw it into the arms of somebody wearing a different outfit. That was the problem.
Here's the other thing that I thought of when I was listening to it, and I have no idea where it sat on this cut sheet. But what stood out to me is when he started talking about playing in the NFC. He has no history with them whatsoever.
Right.
So in the AFC, he knows the Jets, at least for the, you know, depending on what's going on with coaches and teams, but for the majority of time he knows the personnel. that's such an important thing to know. He knows how those players think and how they react, because he may have four games of history with them, like he did with Gilmore. Stay away from them. The Jets, the Miami Dolphins. He knows what it's like to play down there. It's an issue. You know, Buffalo, the fans. Like, he's got a real good understanding.
Their schemes.
What stood out to me, okay, was I remember, because when I left, every game, especially your division games, are the first time ever. So instead of really only preparing, you know, getting to know eight teams that are new, depending on where you're at in the cycle, every single game is brand new. So there's no retention from the year before, right? Because you've never played them before. You have no history. You may have one game play against the Atlanta Falcons. You play against them later, but they could change. So my point is, it's more work than I thought. I knew there was going to be a lot of work because he's got to know the schemes and everything else, and he's already behind. But even more so, every single week, the challenge is brand new. So whatever test you had, okay, the next one is completely different. You're not banking on any history. So that, to me, it's like if Brady was a Patriot and then he went to play the Seattle Seahawks. He hasn't played in 5 years. He doesn't know what's going on with them. Okay, if he goes and he plays the Arizona Cardinals, he has no idea about their personnel. Zero.
Christian, that's all I'm saying, is that if anybody can do it, Brady can do it, though I do question age 43. It is different than 42 and 41, where his numbers were down, where he was less efficient. But all of these other things that you're adding, and then the limited time, he's talking about how technology is going to bail him out right now. Technology can only do so much to bail you out with the limited time you're going to have here in the offseason. I think this is going to be very difficult, and I'm shocked that you and others think that it's going to be a breeze. I've heard Rich Keefe today.
You missed what I just said.
Well, you said 12 and 4 in the MVP.
No, I said 12
and 4.
It doesn't mean
the MVP.
Yes, and the man of the year. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm not saying that it's not challenging at all. No, I just said I'm adding to it. I gave you credit yesterday and again today. And then today when I was listening to it, I was like, wait a second, I forgot about this. It's not like he could play in a game on Sunday and go, okay, you know what? We got the Jets. I know all about the Jets. Like, I've already done the work on the Jets. I've saved myself 6 hours. I don't have to commit 6 hours because I've already done the work. I look at my old notes. I look at last year's tape. I played in that game. Last year, the year before that, the year before that. So I know what it's like. I know where the clock is. I know how the fans react. I know how the field kind of sits. I know where the wind comes in when I play in Buffalo. He doesn't have that, period. So I'm saying that it is – I'm adding that layer of difficulty to it. If I'm a French judge, I mean, listen, I'm not grading on a curve.
MVP. It's called him MVP. I heard Rich Keefe pretty much say the same thing today.
By calling him MVP, you might have made it sound like it was going to be somebody.
Yes, he did.
But remember, the other thing, those teams.
That's also, it's like five. I gave him five awards.
But remember, there's another thing, too, though. But the teams, you know, New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, they now look at Tampa completely different, too.
Sure do.
They don't know what the hell Tampa's going to do. Like, Winston's at the quarterback last year. They're like, okay, this is what their offense is. This is what we know they're going to do. We, you know, whatever. Exactly. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, all right, let's prep for Tampa. All of a sudden, they got to do work that they haven't ever done either, because they're like, what's this look like?
It's a tough division for them, though, for Tampa Bay. Matter of fact, if you want to make any, because I wouldn't pick New England to win more games than Tampa Bay, just based on the talent that Tampa Bay has and the fact that New England is going through a retool period here, bridge year or whatever. But I would say this, it might be a good bet to pick New England with a better divisional record than Tampa Bay, because I think it's going to be tough for Tampa Bay to be better than 3-3 within that division. That's a tough division.
Yep, and again, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I think based on the newness of it, and I think there is some fear involved with him, is like making sure he gets it right. So there will be a lot of hours dedicated to this. Almost like he's
and
almost
he may
like
not
he's
have those hours.
Well, why would he not?
Well, because you're going to have a curtailed schedule here, and he talked about it.
I'm talking about during the season.
Well,
during the season, not in the off season.
Right. Well, once you get into the season, it becomes a little bit more difficult. He keeps on talking. See, I'm going on his words in the past and why he told us that he was able to do so many things with all of these receivers, because we had so many practices together. We spent so much time throwing to each other. If you take some of that away, he's the one now that's telling us that that was a gigantic advantage of – telepathically, we knew where we were supposed to be. And with a nod of the head, I could know that the route was changing. He's not going to have any of that stuff, guys. He's not going to have any of it. To me, this is going to be very, very difficult. And I think people are lightly thinking just because Tom Brady is the greatest of all time, even though he is 43 and he's starting to fade a little bit, that this is going to be easy. I don't buy it. All right, we get to your phone call, 617-779-7937, coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.